Next on BYUSN, will he stay or will he go?
Nice.
That's the question regarding BYU's Richie Saunders and the approaching NBA draft. We'll discuss what decision we think he's going to make. His head coach, Kevin Young, adds another big-time transfer to the roster. Who is he, and what exactly does he bring to BYU's team next season?
I like those dunks. JT, Jonathan Tavernari, joins us to discuss Saunders' upcoming decision, BYU's recent signing, and Jimmer Fredette's retirement. And with round one of the NFL draft in the books, we'll call our shot on where we think Tyler Batty and Caleb Etienne will land this season. And did BYU contribute to Shedeur Sanders' dropping?
Those are the important questions, Jerem. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Friday, April 25th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who's ready to cook up some tots, Jerem Jordan.
Give me some of your tots, Spence.
Look, I will.
Look what I have here. I have the...
What?
Orida. Here, I'll show you. Here. The Orida Air Richie, number 15, Cook Like the King baking sheet. I think this is Hema Hemuli's, and I think it's already been used because you can see fingerprints in here. Some crispy, delicious tater tots will be cooked on this and at some point. This is a tangible NIL deal, which is really fun for Richie.
All BYU fans can participate.
Yeah,
again, and I can and again and again.
Reflection. Yeah,
cook
pretty,
like
pretty
the
cool.
King. Let Richie cook.
Let him cook, literally,
or
in this
bake.
Baking sheet. Yes. Also, come back to BYU.
Dawson Baker needs to get in on this.
Nice.
Come
look
on.
Did you see this? Look at this. We got all kinds of light issues going on here.
I love it. Yeah,
I'll just hold it right here.
Going. Like, yeah.
In the year
can you give me some more light under my chin?
Do you remember that with Conan O'Brien in the year 2000?
Oh, yeah. Conan, yeah. Big fan of Studio C here at BYU TV.
Yeah, yeah, he likes it. I'm out. I'm out.
Jerem's done.
I'll just take it over here. Gotta get it out of the way.
Come on back. Come on back, Jerem. Right.
We got stuff to talk about.
We got stuff.
It's a loaded Friday. We got lots of loaded tots. Let's go.
In a way, we do. On that note.
We're not tethered.
Rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending. There's the big undecided question mark of Richie Saunders.
Yeah.
Go pro or stay in Provo?
I expect him to come back. He didn't jump in the portal, so he's not going elsewhere. So it's assuming Richie comes back. AJ and Kaba and Robert Wright III. People think that's a preseason top 10 team.
Let's double down on that phrase.
Yep.
Or question.
Yep.
Are you going pro or are you staying in Provo? That is the question for Richie Saunders. The NBA draft early entry deadline, by the way, is tomorrow, meaning Richie would have to enter his name by 11:59 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night to be eligible for the NBA draft to test the waters, as we so often hear about. If Richie enters his name, he has until June 15th to withdraw. Jerem, knowing that information, do you expect Richie Saunders to return to BYU or be an early entry for the NBA draft, or maybe a mix of both?
I wouldn't be surprised if he enters his name just to see what's out there. I don't think he's a first-round guy. I think he'd be a second-round or undrafted guy at this point. I think he could have the season he has again and probably be in a similar spot. I'm going to be really honest with you. I don't think that he can climb into the first round, personally. That's me. I know that Kevin Young and that staff will do their best to try and get him in that position. But because A.J. Dumas is going to be your number one option, so automatically Richie's kind of number two or maybe even number three with Robert Wright III. We'll see how that kind of plays itself out. None of that is negative, by the way. Richie Saunders, to me, is going to play in the NBA. Whether he somehow climbs into the first, is drafted in the second, or he's an undrafted
And if it's this year or next year, he's going to be on an NBA roster.
Yeah, he is going to be on an NBA roster. To me, it's not – that's the point, that he's in the NBA at some point. I do think he will eventually end up returning to BYU. Whether he says today or tomorrow, I'm back at BYU, let's do this, or I'm entering my name, and he'll have the intention of potentially coming back. I think he should – test the waters, unless he's received the feedback enough to where he goes, no, I'm just going to focus on this. But it might be good for next year just to be like, all right, I'm creating contacts. People are seeing me. I'm working out for people. Does he even get the invite to the combine? He could work out for teams. But if he gets the invite to the combine, which would be great, then now he's really exposed in a good way there. He could also be exposed in a way where he knows what he needs to work on.
Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot. But honestly, like, I'm not sure he's going to average more points per game next year with A.J. Dumas on the team. I think he could be as efficient as he was. It's hard to ask him to be more efficient. He was crazy efficient. He was like a 50% three-point shooter. He was amazing.
Can you shoot 60% from the three-point line?
Like, no. Like, what's the comp that Kevin Young gave him? Alex Caruso, who we saw come up massively big yesterday for the Thunder in their 29-point comeback after Ja Morant got hurt.
Huge defensive
plays. In the playoffs, yes. Defense, headband with way more hair, threes. Like, what the way that Richie plays is very, very suited for NBA role player. So I hope that he comes back. I think he will come back. I'll be surprised if he does not. But I'm not going to blame him for trying to get some exposure and some feedback. Like, why not? Yeah. Yet, I wouldn't be surprised if he's like, nah, I'm just back at BYU. Let's go.
I'm going to bring in our friends from BYU Athletic Marketing. Before they set up this whole cruising with the Cougs situation, they went and scouted the boat. Sorry.
They went on the trip.
They went on the actual trip.
Yeah.
The whole cruise to experience it. Talk through everything, see the staff.
Where can they put stuff up?
All of this was scouted out. Richie Saunders should do the same thing with his NBA prospects right now. Just go see it. Take a peek at it. And then decide when you're actually going to take that trip. But yeah, I think it's totally in a logical realm that he should go and do this, and I support it. Not that Kevin Young and staff can't give him an idea, but
they
why
can give
not?
Him a great idea.
Why not just go talk to a few other people? In fact, I'd be shocked if Kevin Young and the staff aren't encouraging Richie to open up those parameters.
Sure.
Supporting it, full-fledged. Obviously, they want him to come back and be a part of what we believe is going to be maybe the most special BYU basketball team in the history of the program next
maybe
season.
Ever, yeah.
Like, that's not hyperbole.
And I'm going to tell you this right now. I know that matters to Richie. The chance to be on a team like that, the chance to do something BYU's never done, that matters to him. He loves BYU. He wants that. I'll be shocked if he's not on that roster. I do want to bring this up, too. Eric Mika and Trent Playstead went out early after their sophomore and junior years, respectively. And Trent was a second-round guy, never played in an NBA game. Eric was undrafted. He played in one NBA game. If those guys were on the roster now, they would stay. Because NIL gives you a chance to be paid more than you would be as a second-round guy or as an undrafted free agent, even in the NBA, especially if you're a high-profile guy like Richie. So that changes his decision, too, potentially, of what does NIL mean for me? It means I can be paid competitively. Now, Yegor, if he's picked, let's say, 18th, you're making around $3 million.
Well, not only that, but like the Russian connection with him being the first potential lottery pick ever out of Russia, huge Russian companies are coming in and saying, we want to partner with you. Like, his deals as a professional are going to be enormous.
Yes, but as it pertains to the salary of playing in college versus the NBA, if you're like a late first rounder, and you're really good in college, that's about the same amount of dough for a lot of these high-end college guys. If you're Richie, no, you can make way more in college and at BYU. So I'm excited to hopefully hear that Richie's returning to BYU, whether that's this weekend. I'm not putting my name in if he says that. Or coming up in June. But I think BYU is intending. I would expect him to return. Because if he doesn't, now you have to go get a guy of his similar
ilk.
But I will be surprised if Richie is not on the roster next fall. That's just me speaking. I don't know anything specific.
Yeah, I'll be shocked if he's not part of this team. I will be shocked.
Yes, absolutely.
If Richie Saunders...
He understands what's possible here.
Gets the feedback from the NBA that's like, you have to enter the draft now, and he goes. That would shock me.
But for the for a non-first-round guy, it's just not that big a deal.
I'm with you. I don't think that's going to happen.
Unless he's like, no, my goal is to be drafted, period.
And I have heard several people say... Yeah, but he's old. Like, he's hurting his stock if he comes back to BYU. And I would offer the following retort. Coming from an NBA scout, Richie's already kind of entered the old zone. Like, whether it's this year or next year, he's already considered an older player.
Yeah.
Like, that wouldn't hurt his stock as much as people think. Now, what could hurt is if he comes back and doesn't play nearly as well as he did this year. Sure. But I believe that there's enough... Like film, tape, video, images.
Oh, he'll be a 40% three-point shooter, and he'll be a double-digit scorer.
I think that will be Robert Wright III and A.J. DeBonser are actually going to help Richie get a little bit more freedom in the offense.
Yeah, he'll have even more open shots.
Yes.
But for him to exceed his numbers from last year, though, they were amazing. I mean, Kevin Young, that's the challenge for Kevin Young and the staff, is how can we get you up a notch? They'll figure it out.
One thing we know is Richie has the work ethic to try and get better. We believe that he will do it and continue to ascend.
Yeah. Yeah. And what if his numbers are a little lower, but BYU's in the Elite Eight? That exposure goes away,
too. He will benefit from the added exposure that will be on BYU's team in general.
Every NBA GM will watch all the BYU games because they're watching AJ.
All right.
Dax Milne benefited from that with Zach Wilson.
So did everybody else on that team.
Who did Zach throw to? Who's that receiver?
Yes.
Who's that left tackle? Oh, Brady Christensen.
Our question of the day, we've answered it. Do you expect Richie Saunders to return to BYU for next season or be an early entry to the NBA draft? At Scani Coog on X says, I expect him to return. Outside of a first-round grade expectation, returning to college and NIL money makes more sense.
Yeah, just don't know exactly what Richie wants. Again, I don't act like I know every single intention of every athlete at BYU. They have to declare that themselves.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. He will be on an NBA roster whenever he decides to go. That's going to happen.
Kevin Young in BYU men's basketball announced the signing of Washington transfer Dominique Diamande. We've been waiting to say his name. 6'7" forward from Tours, France. He redshirted last year at Washington, played for ADA Blois, U21 team in France 2 years ago. What will Diamande bring to BYU? We've been talking about him without saying his name. Now we can actually say his name.
Well, let's look at his highlights a little bit, shall we? Also bring up the fact that he's 6'8", 190 pounds, international star. Jeremy, another international big-time player for BYU. That length, that athleticism, and his ability to defend on the wing, play in multiple positions in Kevin Young's offense. He just brings so much versatility and more length and athleticism, which BYU needs. Who's going to replace a guy like Muit Magg?
Yeah.
Maybe Dominique Diamande plays that role to a degree.
Watch this one.
Oh, they cut it off.
What in the world? It was about to... Oh,
he is a high-level finisher at the rim. I believe that Kevin Young and his staff can develop him into a better three-level scorer, but already he's been exposed to high-level basketball in his backdrop. And so I just love that BYU's in these circles, and this is another avenue to bring in a guy who's going to be an immediate impact player. But I'm most excited about just his ability to defend and on the wing and also attack from different angles on offense. Like, he's a guy that can get his own shot in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, he had a second round kind of grade coming out of France, which is pretty good. Mid-year addition to Washington, ended up redshirting, got injured.
No one's going to block his shot like Cannon catches.
Right?
No one's going to block it.
3-and-D guy, super athletic, excited about his potential. Probably a really dynamic... Is this the play? Are we seeing it? No. Yeah, something like that. He is going to probably come off the bench because he hasn't played in college quite yet and make an impact. And again, maybe he becomes a starter. That's what Muit Magg did. He started on the bench, became a starter. Very athletic, excited about what he can bring to the table.
Rim rocker!
And what did Kevin Young say when he got the job? Hey, I want to make this the best place for young men to prepare for the NBA. He also said, we got to get more athletic. This guy is very athletic.
Jerem, let's assess this from an NBA talent standpoint. If Richie Saunders comes back, is BYU going to have, four, five NBA players?
Prospects.
On the roster next season? A.J. DiBonsa, Robert Wright III, Richie Saunders, Dominique Diamande. This is wild.
And some of you may say, why not Kaba? He's just a little undersized. If Kaba was 6'10", he'd be an NBA player.
100%.
Yeah, he's 6'8". But he's super athletic, I know. Maybe he'll get a shot one day. We'll see. Yeah, it's one of the most... perhaps the most talented BYU team ever. Time will tell.
The 81
team had three NBA, like tenured NBA guys and an all-star in Danny Ainge. So it's hard to argue against 81. You also look at 2011, there were three NBA guys on that roster too, eventually, with Jimmer, Brandon Davies, Kyle Collinsworth, who all played at least some games in the NBA. This, AJ by himself might make you the most talented roster ever. Like, if you have the number one
BYU
pick.
BYU could have three a future draft All-Star, maybe. Picks. Okay, so the difference between those teams you brought, like, 81, yes, they had draft picks, but there were more rounds.
I don't care about draft picks per se. Like, what's your sort of, how long did you play in the NBA? How effective were you? I would say that Fred Roberts, Greg Kite, and Danny Ainge, that's a pretty good trio.
Oh, they had fantastic NBA careers.
Can next year's team top that at some point? Like, if AJ is a five-time All-Star, doesn't he just single-handedly make that the most talented BYU team ever? addition to what we hope is good stuff with Richie and Robert Wright III, and maybe Diamande is the guy
that gets
in there.
How many picks are there in the NBA draft? 60?
There's 60. This year there's only 59, by the way.
It would be wild if BYU produced three of those 60 picks next season.
Offhand, I don't think that's ever happened in the first two rounds. BYU's never had two in the first round.
Ever.
They've never had back-to-back first-rounders. They're going to have that with Yegor and AJ.
New territory. Yep. Speaking of drafts, the NFL draft got underway last night in the first round.
Yeah.
Rounds 2 and 3 tonight. Rounds 4 through 7 take place all day Saturday. Let's call our shot on where BYU players will land this weekend, beginning with Tyler Batty. What round and team will he be drafted by?
This is so random. I have no... There's no rhyme or reason behind my decisions for these. It's just me trying to guess and hope that I'm close to the pin.
Do it!
Tyler Batty, 6th round, the Bears. Listen, for all these guys, I hope they're on the Seahawks.
Okay.
Then I'll be watching during the week.
Okay.
That's my pick. What's your pick?
Do you want to go to ETN too?
Sure. Okay. ETN, 5th round, Texans.
Okay. So you think Caleb's going to go before Tyler?
I do. I think he goes before Tyler, yeah.
All right.
That surprises some.
Okay, so I'm going to go. I hope you like this. Tyler Batty, late 5th round, number 175 overall to your Seattle Seahawks.
My dog.
Your Seahawks.
Come on.
Okay, 175 to the Seahawks.
Get him behind Leonard Williams. Let's go.
Late 5th round. Okay, as for Caleb Etienne, I'm going 6th round, number 208. 32nd pick of the 6th round.
I'd like you to be a little more specific.
Okay, to the Denver Broncos.
Oh, to the Broncos.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So those are, we're just random calling our shots.
And then if we get one of those four, we'll be like, yeah, I totally knew. Talked to all these scouts. They told me. No. Okay, how about undrafted free agents? How many do you think will land? I don't count mini camp, by the way.
So that's not including minicamp.
That's like, nope, he signed as an undrafted free agent. Minicamp is like, we didn't want to sign you, but just come try out.
Yes.
And probably not make it.
I would anticipate at least 4 other BYU players land undrafted free agent contracts, not minicamps. There will be others in minicamps.
Yeah.
But beginning with probably Jacob Robinson.
Yep.
I think he did incredible work at the Big 12
numbers
Combine.
Numbers are too good. His film's too good.
Yes. Yep. Jacob Robinson will have multiple selections on where a lot of teams are going to be interested in. Where does he want to go? He'll get to choose that.
Does he somehow sneak into the 7th round?
I would love that. I would love it.
Because we were surprised when Chris Wilcox did, right? Like, oh, he ran a 4.3.
And it was Chris's speed that a lot of scouts point at.
So Jacob could did the same Jacob thing sneak into the 7th?
With
seventh?
His 4.3 speed?
He has a lot of picks, dude.
But Chris Wilcox was a little longer, a little bigger.
Yeah. Jake, the con on Jake is just a little slight. But, like, he has contact courage. Just watch the film, right?
Put on 13 pounds of muscle.
Darius Lassiter, to me, screams high-priority undrafted free agent.
Yes.
Too long, too talented, too good.
And his family name matters.
Right? He has dad, brother, and NFL. Come on. John Nelson seems like an undrafted free agent guy. If he does, he'll get at least a minicamp.
Yeah.
If not a UDFA. And then Braden Keim.
Yeah. He's got the size.
If Braden Keim had been healthy after the Utah game, I think maybe he would have been a guy we talk about in the 6th or 7th round.
Connor Pay, too?
Connor Pay, as a freshman, was the highest-rated center freshman in the country. Will Connor Pay get in there? We just named 5 guys.
That's why I said at least 4.
I know. I'm with you on 4.
Could be 5.
4 is my number. I hope it's 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Mark Collins is another guy. I know, undersized cornerback, but super
Like athletic. Mangelson feels like a guy that could be interesting in a mini camp or better. So best of luck to all those guys. I know that there's some good talent from BYU. Obviously, going 11-2 without like a first or second day guy is a credit to the staff.
Yeah.
We'd like to get in that space, though, again, where there's first round, second round, third round guys, right?
And listen, we understand there's a possibility that maybe Tyler Batty or Caleb Etienne goes undrafted. Like that.
Right. That possibility exists.
When you are slated 5th to 7th rounds, it's who knows?
Who knows,
man. It's a wild card.
Like Puka was a 5th rounder. What in the world? Puka?
But it would be, I don't care if they're the last 2 picks of the draft. Awesome.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
I would love to see multiple BYU players taken in.
It's important. When you ignore it, it means you don't prioritize it to me. Can't ignore it. Come on. Produce picks. Last but not least, Colorado quarterback Shador Sanders fell out of the 1st round last night. What role did BYU's Alamo Bowl performance play in that? Because I was very surprised he fell out of the first round. I think a lot of people were.
It's just like Lamar Jackson, right?
Yeah.
Just like, well, was Lamar Jackson the last pick of the first round?
He was late first, early second.
Or was he the first pick of the second round?
Yeah,
late first.
It felt like a little bit
like the Lamar Jackson
Once
situation.
The Steelers didn't pick him at 21, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah. Yes.
And Jackson Dart, your boy from Corner Canyon here, the third Utah quarterback.
Goes before Shadur.
Jim McMahon at a Wah. Zach Wilson, Corner Canyon, now Jackson Dart. The three first-rounders ever from the state of Utah.
Good for them. Yeah, good for Jackson. Incredible athlete. I was shocked that Jackson Dart was chosen before Shadur. Now, I was too. If BYU's dominance in the Alamo Bowl played a role in that.
Did it expose something?
As much as BYU fans want to buy in on that idea, oh, the Cougs keep on beating the Buffs.
We're good about making it about us.
We absolutely centering on what did BYU do to impact this.
Does it have to do with Brigham Young?
No. Listen, it's never good to have your final collegiate game be something like that.
Somewhere last night, Jay Hill smiled.
It didn't help Shadur Sanders, like the way he played against BYU and how confused BYU made him.
Made him look kind of silly.
Didn't help, but did that cause him to fall out of the first round? No, stop it.
All I know is it's kind of weird to have your jersey retired and then not be in the first round. Just saying. Just saying. BYU Sports Nation will be live from the BYU Fan Fest tomorrow in St. George's Sandtown Park for an hour-long show featuring interviews with Klein Stocky, Jake Retzloff, Chase Roberts, Isaiah Glasker, Jack Kelly, and more, beginning at 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Up next, BYU sharpshooter Jonathan Tavernari.
Vamola!
In studio to discuss the Richie Saunders pending decision, what Dominic Diamante and Robert Wright III bring to BYU, and Jimmer Fredette's retirement. Stay with us.
You don't put a saddle on a Mustang. You just let him go.
What Kevin has accomplished, it's unheard of.
The ability that you have to stack a team and go do something special, it doesn't happen very often.
We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. That is Jerem Jordan. Across the way from us now is former BYU basketball sharpshooter and basketball analyst Jonathan Tavernari. Back on the show, JT. How you feeling this morning? On commencement day, no less.
Graduation day. You remember graduation day?
I do, yeah. Yeah, it was, you wear your Harry Potter garb and you get a piece of paper. It's pretty awesome.
I the old Marriott Center, right? So you remember where the locker room was. I just didn't want to stay in line to get my name called. So I just told someone, I said, here's my phone number. Text when it was my turn. And me and Lamont Morgan went to the locker room to play video games. And then we're there for like 20 minutes. And then finally got a text and I'd say, hey, we're up. And then we just closed the door.
Just walked out.
Went back online and yeah.
That's a proper workaround.
Chestnut checkers.
Let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
You're dressed to work out here. That's what you're doing in the morning.
Yeah, just it's springtime and excited to be working with the guys again. Just got done doing some stuff with a few of the guys and I like it. It's an exciting time and I appreciate the access that the coaches give me, that the administration give me, and it's how I give it back. I feel like BYU has given me a ton, and the least I can do is in the summertime when coaches aren't allowed because there's still some type of rules around college basketball, and and there's only amount of time that they can be together, and so the times that they can, I come in and I work the guys out and help with their shooting and all of that. So it's that time of the year. That's why I'm like
this.
Looking good.
In the spirit of graduation, four BYU players are moving on. We would love to have them all back. That is not the reality.
Yeah.
But many BYU fans are also wondering if guys who do have eligibility can come back, led by Richie Saunders, is what we're talking about on the show today. So, Jonathan, from your perspective and with your access to Richie, how do you feel straight up? Do you feel like he's going to be back at BYU next season?
So I will say this. What I would do if I was Richie, it was probably test the waters, right? He didn't enter the portal, which is, it's a first step. But I would probably, if I were him, I would test the waters and in terms of the NBA draft, right? And then from there, make a decision. Now you have a little bit more leeway and timing to be able to go in the draft and come back and, how do you want to do it? Do you want to stay? Do you want to come back? And so in my opinion, that's what Richie is probably going to do. And that's what I would do.
How much can he better his stock with another senior season where, let's say he does what he did last year, which was incredible. Is he a second-round guy in the NBA? Is he a late first?
Yeah. You know,
is he undrafted?
It's an interesting perspective. You know, like the last time I was on the show, I said, hey, I think Yegor may come back. But that's because of everything he was saying, going to conference and all of these things. But the original plan for Yegor was always for him to go, right? As you also look at Yegor, and maybe this can be even be relevant to Richie, is what can he do to your point about his stock? What can he do to improve that? I mean, Richie was first team all Big 12. You know, I mean, you know, we're talking about a borderline or all-American season. So how does he improve that stock? You know, it's not an easy ask, right? Now, when you compare to Yegor, you know, Yegor would have to be all first team Big 12, lead the Big 12 in assist, be an All-American, get BYU to the Elite
Limit
Eight.
Limit turnovers, shoot better three. And like, so, that's he did a lot good of good stuff. There's a couple of spots he could improve.
And sure. And so as I look at that, you know, you can argue either way, which, you know, Richie should probably stay in a draft because what he has to top based on last year, it is a mountain to climb. Right. But then you talk about, well, is he going to be, you know, a two-way player, a G League player? And then the NIL comes into discussion. Right. Where can he earn more? Is it at BYU through NIL or is it, you know, at the professional rankings? And so
that's an easy answer if he's a two-way guy.
Right.
It's NIL very, in college.
Very
Not
simple answer.
Yep.
And so I think those are the things that you have to weigh. Right. In Yegor's factor, you know, like he is still talked about as a top 20 guy. Right. And so the decision there is not complicated because he most likely will be drafted in the first round. With Richie is, if I'm not drafted, even in the second round, I'm a two-way player. I have to fight for a G League
spot.
No
guarantee. Yep.
You know, and so those are the things that as these guys are weighing the options, you know, that's from a player that when I played, if I were playing in this day and age, that's what would go through my head. So I guarantee that that's what they're weighing.
Does he need to, you know, declare and get a shot at – we don't even know if he'd get to the NBA Combine, for example.
Yeah.
Can he get that feedback without even being an early entry guy to know, like, oh, I wouldn't even be close to the first round, therefore I'll just come back?
Yeah.
Or does he need to declare and kind of do that process?
That's a good point. You know, things change so much with the NBA world, right? Can he get to workouts? And, you know, obviously – it's interesting, you know, having a head coach that it's, you know, arguably.
Is he enough feedback?
And that's my
and from
point,
all his
right?
GM
you know,
buddies.
Can he
yeah.
get enough feedback from Kevin's connections in the NBA with all their assistant coaches? Hey, this is what you need to do. But then there's also the fact, like, you know, well, you know, I'm not saying, you know, Kevin Young is going to do this, but oh, Richie, nobody likes you. You definitely need to come back, right? Kevin Young is not going to do that.
Right, right.
But his integrity is way too high.
Well, but that's, you know, like, but the point is, you know, he's in a very unique situation, and I think that's what having the NBA level, the pro level coaching staff that does it as well. Maybe Richie doesn't even need to go work out for a team, right? I mean, we don't know what's going to happen because he already has that feedback from the connections that the coaching staff have, and not just Kevin Young, Will Voight, you know, Tim Fanning, you know, even Jordan was, you know, Jordan Brady.
Yep.
I mean, I remember when he was at UVU and we, you know, we were about the same class and then he went and played. He worked at the D League back then. And so he has multiple people that can give him a lot of feedbacks. And so I think Richie's in a great spot, right? Because he has a great feedback. He goes to the NBA, starts his pro career, or he comes back to a place where he is idolized, you know, and loved and cherished and, you know, gets to make a lot of money through NIL. And have a fantastic senior year, you know, playing with the number one player in the country next year.
And baking sheets are flying off the shelves for him as well.
Get them while they're hot.
Come,
no
nice.
Pun intended.
Nice.
What is your guys' favorite way to have tater tots?
Crispy and delicious.
Yeah,
with
that.
Fry
any
sauce.
Toppings? Any cheese?
Yeah, some
like
some
with
some
maybe some ground beef or something like that.
Loaded tots.
Yeah, loaded tots.
Nacho cheese on them.
That all sounds good. We're getting closer to lunchtime.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. Now we're hungry.
Some chives on there.
Okay.
Jonathan Tavernari is on BYU Sports Nation. All right, with Richie and Flux, we do know about a couple of guys who have officially joined BYU. Dominic Diamande and Robert Wright III, the transfer guard from Baylor. So I know that Richie's a huge question mark out there and a huge part of what BYU could be, but With those two in play, JT, what do you make of BYU basketball and what they're capable of with those two specific additions?
Well, and listen, let's also not forget AJ. But I get where you're going with the question. I totally get it. But, I mean, that's a story in its own.
Sure.
But, I'm very intrigued to see Diamande in the summer. I'm very interested because redshirted, didn't play, but the highlights look incredible.
Long, athletic, wing.
Very much so. You know, again, right, an international guy, love his story, all love, you know, to Mawat Meg. But it's almost like in 2 or 3 years, he could be an upgrade from what Mawat, you know, was to BYU last year in terms of a 3-and-D guy that can develop, you know, and have NBA chances, aspirations, and so on. With Robert Wright, you know, I was here. I worked the Baylor game with you guys. In overtime, we kept talking here. He took over.
14 straight points.
At the end of regulation and overtime, with all respect to VJ, who is a top five pick, who took over the game was Robert Wright. It wasn't VJ. VJ ended up with 27, 28 points, but Robert Wright had 22. And at the end of the game, we remember talking about they kept going to whoever Mag wasn't guarding. They were looking for the mismatch, and most of the time was Robert Wright. And so he is the type of point guard that I don't think BYU has ever had, you know, in terms of quick and athletic, and he can get to the rim. He's bouncy. He's got a great shot, great ability, and, you know, has played with AJ before. And so I think there's a lot of different looks that BYU is going to be able to get. And the number one thing for the last couple of years that BYU has struggled a little bit is guard play on defense, right? Because the Big 12, as we know it, Texas Tech, Houston, those guys, I mean, Baylor before, they're loaded on the guard front, right? I mean, Houston game and then Texas Tech in a tournament, it was just up and down, and those guys are super physical. And so Robert Wright is yet another dimension of a player that BYU has never had.
Which is very exciting. We do need to ask you about your old teammate, Jimmer Fredette, announcing his retirement from basketball. The basketball world celebrated him. What are some stories and memories you have from playing with Jimmer?
So, my number one thing I would say about Jimmer is from the very first time he came on his visit, I remember talking to his mom because Kay is not a member of the church, and I was Catholic. So I remember her and she saw my cross necklace and we talked about that. But there's just so many things, you know, like first night he was on campus, me and Mike Lloyd were coming through to go to the dorms, like, Jimmer, let's go to this party, let's go hang out. And he is in sweats with socks over his pants. He's like, I'm just going to play some video games and play on my computer and then I'm going to go to bed, right? The one thing that Coach Rose said, I think, in the show yesterday or the day before, Jimmer, much like I've shared before about Richie working out in the summer, Jimmer was good in high school, but he wasn't that good. Like, he was a solid player, but the way that he developed year after year after year, working with his Uncle Taft and just developing, and his sheer will of improving over and over again, that is the ultimate, you know, example for kids everywhere, right? You know, and through it all, he stayed the same type of guy, same type of jokes, humble. Obviously, the basketball world knows him, right? But the same type of guy. When he's around us, you know, he is the same. And unbelievable career. You know, I got to play with him for 3 years. I wasn't part of Jimmer Mania. Didn't get a chance to be a part of that team. That would have been great. But he's an amazing guy. You know, Whitney and his family are amazing. His dad, Al, his brother, his family, the Fredette family is amazing. What an amazing career he had.
JT, good to have you on the show, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Always good to see
Always
you.
Appreciate talking ball.
I'm kind of hungry now. So
I'm kind of
hungry now. And so we got to go to lunch sometime soon.
Let's go.
Maybe Tucano's had tater tots. I don't know.
Let's go. Well, I don't think they do, but
they got other stuff.
That's
also delicious.
Yeah.
JT, thanks for the time.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, we're going to be live from St. George coming up Saturday night. Going to be a ton of fun to be with all the Cougar fans in St. George. We're going to have tons of interviews at Sandtown Park starting at 8 Eastern time. Kalani Sitake, Jake Retzlaff, Chase Roberts, Isaiah Glasgow, Jack Kelly, and more on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
After the break, we preview another very busy weekend for BYU sports. So many teams at play. Let's go. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. I should clarify, it's convocation day, not commencement day.
It's all good, dude. We were broadcast journalism majors.
People are walking across the stage and getting their degrees.
Yeah.
And we are going to roll out your headlines now.
Kevin Young and BYU men's basketball announced signing Washington transfer Dominique Diomande, a 6'7 forward from Tours, France, redshirted last year at Washington. Before that, he was on the U21 team in ADA Blois in France. 16 points a game, 6 rebounds, shot 52% from the field. Of note, the NBA draft early entry deadline is tomorrow night, 11:59 Eastern, meaning King Richie Saunders of Tater Tot Airdom would have to enter his name by tomorrow night to be eligible for the draft.
Long live the king!
He could then come back if he wants. We'll see.
After last night's first round, the NFL draft continues with rounds 2-7 tonight and tomorrow in Green Bay. Yeah. BYU's Tyler Batty and Caleb Etienne are the Cougars most likely to be drafted and have been featured in multiple prominent mock drafts slated around the 5th to 7th rounds. Caleb Etienne, by the way, will join the show on Monday to recap the weekend.
3-seed men's volleyball fell to 6-seed Stanford in 5 sets, 15-10 last night in the MPSF quarterfinals at Pepperdine with the loss. BYU season ends at 19-10. Cougars won't get one of the two at-large bids to the 9-team NCAA tournament.
BYU softball dropped their series opener in Waco 2-0 at Baylor last night. Cougars held to just 2 hits overall in that loss. Now BYU looks to win the final 2 games and take the series, beginning with game 2 of a 3-game set, 7:30 Eastern on ESPN+.
Baseball lost 8-3 in game 1 of a 3-game set against Arizona State last night in Tempe. BYU jumped out to a 2-0 lead in the first, outscored 8-1 the rest of the game. Game 2 tonight, 9:30 Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPN+.
BYU men's golf finishing in 9th place at the Big 12 Championships yesterday in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They rallied to get there. They entered the final round in 12th place, climbing 3 spots. After shooting 1-under par combined as a team in the final round, Zach Jones, BYU's best finisher, 11th place overall individually.
Number 13 men's track and field and number 13 women's track and field, both split competing at two different meets this weekend, Utah State and at Stanford.
Former BYU golfer Zach Blair and Patrick Fishburne teamed up for the PGA Tour Zurich Classic in New Orleans. Blair and Fishburne, one of 80 teams of 2 players together in the event. After round 1, Blair and Fishburne tied for 61st overall.
And former Cougar All-American rugby players of BYU, Matt Jensen, Paul Asike, and Cole Simu are in the lineup for the Utah Warriors tomorrow night against the Chicago Hounds at 9 Eastern on ESPN+.
After the break, it's our final Cruisin' with the Cougs interview.
And oh, what a run we had.
Former all-time leading rusher Jamal Willis. Looks great in that BYU uniform at Notre Dame. This is BYU Sports Nation. Live in Studio B, it is time for the final interview from our Cruising with the Cougs adventure, and it is the swaggy Jamal Willis. We were just talking about how much swag he had. He's still got it, and he's discussing all things past BYU football and present. Enjoy.
The legend, Jamal Willis, best running back on the boat.
On this boat.
Indeed.
And in Cabo and in Ensenada. They have no good running backs there, I promise you.
All of that true and happening on BYU Sports Nation. From your vantage point, when you look at what BYU football is doing and has become as they have transitioned from independence now into what will be year 3 of Big 12 competition, what have you enjoyed the most watching that evolution?
Well, for me, it's just how quickly they adapted. And you know, obviously, they exceeded expectations in everyone's minds, I'm sure. But just to see them to compete at a high level. And, you know, the culture's here. In BYU football, we know how to win, right? And I think the Big 12 has been the best thing for us because I feel like we've had to up the level of play every week. It's not just you play a couple good teams and then you step it down. No, you have to play great every week. And I think it shows now more the experience in the big games. You know, I think we've really been able to just really match up with the skill level and the coaching level and how we play on the field. So I think it's been great.
The 1994 team is one of the most underrated teams. You guys win, what, 10 games? You beat Notre Dame. You beat Oklahoma convincingly in the Copper Bowl. Does the 94 team deserve a little more love?
I would say yes. You know, it's always funny because I think Lavelle, he was kind of going out, you know, he was looking at retiring and he was just loading up the schedule. It was like, oh, wow, you know, these are a lot of big games. But I felt like we were really just playing at a high level. And honestly, you know, we beat Notre Dame and we were able to beat some other teams and really beat them handedly, you know. And I think that year was, I think, was a turning point, you know, especially because who we had on the lineup.
And it was unique because a couple of things. One, John Walsh leaves, so you have to find a JUCO quarterback to replace him. And it's Steve Sarkisian, and that begins that run. But also, you had a freshman fullback that turned out to be okay as well, despite his mustache.
Despite the mustache.
Yeah. That would be one Kalani Fifita Sitake.
You know, it's funny. Me and Kalani joke about this because the Notre Dame game, he actually, when I jumped over the pile, he was the guy underneath blocking and pinging away. So yeah, we joked about that yesterday on the boat. You know, he was a guy underneath, and I was a guy over the top getting all the handshakes and high fives, and he did the work for me.
Speaking of Kalani, how have you seen him evolve as a coach as he approaches almost a decade as the man in charge?
You know, it's always funny to see past players and to remember what they used to be. Mm-hmm. You know, and just to see Kalani and how he's kind of grown into the position as head coach, as leader, and how he has just accepted that, and how the players have been able to just look at him as the leader. You know, it's great to just see Kalani. I mean, and it takes time. You know, he's been an assistant coach for a long time, and that's the difference between an assistant coach and a head coach. Mm. But he's always had the qualities. He bleeds BYU blue, and I think he's just the perfect coach for the job. I think he's done a great job, and the players love him.
11-2 was unbelievable last year. Like week to week, winning at the end. Obviously, a nice Alamo Bowl victory over Colorado. What's the next step for this group? What are you seeing that they're to accomplish?
For me, and I tell people this, we need to show consistency of winning. And I think that's been the one thing that we've shown signs that we could be that team, and then we lose to a team that's a lot lesser. You know, and I think now it's just we have to match, if not exceed, what we've done. I mean, that's the difference between a good team and a great team in all levels. It's just showing the consistency of being able to win and keep winning and win the big games. And I think that's the where we need to get to. And if that's winning a championship, so be it. That's what we want to win, right? We want to go to a national championship. We want to do that. We want to win the conference. But I think the consistency, keeping the consistency year after year of just winning at the high level, that's what we need.
Jamal Willis is on BYU Sports Nation. I know you've answered several questions about similar topics in the past, but just because we're here and it's been a theme of this cruise, and that is BYU and faith and family and spirituality, you took a chance on BYU. And how has that impacted your life? If you can summarize that answer in 60 seconds or less.
No, it's when I chose BYU, I wasn't a member of the church, and it was very hard first year being here, so different, but it really just revamped and changed my life. I was able to meet my wife first and foremost. I have to say that she was a gymnast, and I was able to meet her, and you know, with Lavelle and his basically being a role father figure for me, and to be able to just accept the community, accept the culture, but then again being able to thrive, that's what helped me out, to be able to thrive. And I look at myself right now and how much that it's really impacted my life. And I always tell people this, that my first day in one of the religion classes when I was in a member, I walked in and this lady stood up and said, "Jamal, come here and I looked over, it was Patty Edwards. And she didn't need a degree, she graduated. She's like, "Come here." Sit. And I was so embarrassed, you know, and I went up and sat by Patty, and she put her arm around me and said, "I'm going to be here for the whole semester." So I think, you know, and for me, it's funny. It was very funny, but I think that was they cared about me, right? And that was showing genuine care. Patty Edwards, and I think she had a lot to play in my first year of feeling a part of the deal, you know. And I think, you know, Lavelle, I look at him as he's a coach, right? And he's a great coach, but he's a father figure and really helped me while I was here.
So was Patty there for just you in that class? Were there other football players she was accounting their attendance? That's pretty nice slash weird, no, which is awesome.
Yeah, I was the only one. And
she was watching out for you.
Yeah, she was watching out for me. And I was one of a really big recruit as a running back,
sure,
choosing BYU because I could have went to Nebraska and all these other big schools. Yeah. And Patty was there just for me to make sure that I felt comfortable, I felt accepted, and they were probably worried that I may say I'm out of here after the class, you know, because it was a Book of Mormon class too. Yeah. And so she sat there in the front and she waited for me every time, so I couldn't miss, so I had to be there.
That's amazing that she would show up every class. That's amazing.
Let's talk about the group of running backs at BYU this year, and there are two current running backs on the boat right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we got Sione Moa And we got Pokai Haunga. Yep. Of course, LJ Martin is not with us, but he too, with high expectations. How do you feel about the running backs room right now at BYU, and what do you see for them in 2025?
I see a balance of really good running backs that can do really good things that are different. And I think in this league, when you play in the Big 12, you really have to have – you have to interchange them. I mean, honestly, because you're going to get nicked up. And I think with the three running backs that they have there, I think they're very talented. And I love just the mix that they have and how they run offensively, you know, how they call plays and just to be able to mix it up. Because some games you're not going to be able to pass much. You'll be able to run. But I think the running game is just going to continue to get better. And I've seen it. I've seen it evolve into something bigger. And it's not just one back. Mm. We're getting three, four really good solid backs. So I think we're going to be good.
You set the all-time rushing record at BYU. That's since been passed several times, which is the goal in any program. What's it like to see the next guy and then the next guy and then the next guy? Because at some point, someone's going to break the record that's standing.
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity for running backs to kind of break the record. I think I'm fourth maybe now.
Which is crazy to me that three dudes passed you.
Yeah, and I've been out for so long, and I always say this. And, you know, I'm kind of we all kind of think that, hey, we were pretty good, you know. And I always say, remember, I was in the days of passing.
You had to play with Ty and John Walsh.
Yes, I was fortunate to get five carries a game. So I knew when I got the ball, I would say, okay, I got to break an 80-yarder because I'm not going to see it again, you know. So I always felt like I was one of the maybe one or two that really kind of established the running game and got BYU to really kind of dig and say, hey, let's start running the ball a little bit. We've been passing for so long. And I think it seemed like after that, running backs start coming. You know, we start running the ball a little bit more with Ronnie Jenkins, Luke Staley, and it just kept going and going. So I feel like I was one of the pioneers.
Yes, sir.
With starting a running game.
And not just second and 10 HB draw.
Yeah.
Fine. Get us four. Manageable third and six.
Always tell people I had only two plays. Crack go at 8, crack go at 9. There were sweeps. Sweep right, sweep left. And teams prepared for it, and I just had
they
to be
couldn't
kind of,
stop
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I had to be really kind of, you know, just creative with how I did that, ran the ball. So.
I love it.
You would have had another 1,000 yards if you played now in
exactly
the traditional
right.
offense, right?
Exactly
A-Rod
right.
would have hooked you up.
Listen, we talk about, like, how economy changes. We should factor that in for sports
running
statistics
back yardage,
as well.
How many carries
right?
you would have had.
Inflation for those yeah, statistics.
Inflation.
So, honestly, I still should be number one, probably.
Yes.
I mean, if you were to look at learn? It, and honestly, they didn't count bowl games back then.
Come
no,
on,
no,
Jamal.
I mean,
yes.
You know?
Sorry, Tyler.
We're here for it.
Sorry, Harvey.
Yep. Once again, Jamal Willis.
The all-time,
all-time
leading, rusher
leading rusher
in BYU football history.
With statistics inflation in play.
Yep.
Jamal, we're so glad you chose BYU way back when.
Congrats
on being
the new record holder.
Thank you. I deserve it.
Thanks, Jamal.
Thank you.
Yes, he does. He deserves it. That was funny. If you miss any interview shows, D-Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com and the free BYU TV app.
What's our statistics inflation? Not important. Do you expect Richie
Yeah,
Saunders?
Irrelevant. Not available. Error 404.
You expect Air Richie to return to BYU next season or declare for the NBA draft? More responses to our question of the day next on BYUSN.
What? BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. Do you expect Richie Saunders to return to BYU next
yes.
season or be an early entry to the NBA draft?
Probably.
At Utah 12 Moses on X answers, don't see any buzz for Richie in mock drafts. Maybe a late second round pick. The earning potential is far greater in college next year.
Yep.
I would expect him back.
Yeah.
Our
That's
elite
what we've
voice,
been saying.
Yeah. Our elite voice today presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from at Seth_Le_Pierce on Instagram, who says, I'll bet all my tater tots and headbands that he comes back.
Well, how many do you have?
Exactly. Jeez. You need to tell us the amount.
Wow.
On the line here?
I have 79 of those. Yeah.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mounts of America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Good luck to Caleb Etienne, Tyler Batty, Jacob Robinson, all the boys who are hoping to get connected with an NFL team either through the draft or undrafted free agency, mini camp invites, that kind of thing. Best of luck to those boys. They've worked hard. They deserve an opportunity. We are excited for you.
This is always a great weekend. Man, it'd be great to have multiple draft picks from this BYU team that went 11-2.
Come on, boys.
They went
11-2. Come on, let's get two. One, somebody's getting drafted.
Yes.
Let's just hope it's two.
Will it be multiple?
Yep.
Our thanks to today's guests, Jonathan Tavernari and Jamal Willis.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, who was an NFL draft pick. We ran out of time.
For Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton. A reminder, we will see you tomorrow, 8 Eastern, from the St. George Fan Fest, live on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Go Cougs!